Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians declared, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is the word of our Lord and our text. You may be seated. Some time ago, we followed St. Paul on a missionary journey that led him to the Philippians. Well, today, we focus on a different sort of journey. It's the ongoing journey of a Christ-centered community, as illustrated by St. Paul's enduring relationship with his brothers and sisters in Philippi. Paul, as he writes this letter, is himself in prison, most likely in Rome, and he's writing to his Philippian friends. As we follow the progression of Paul's letter of encouragement, what I would like to do this morning is encourage you to see yourself and the Christ-centered community in which our Lord has placed you. Here as a part of Trinity, of course, but also beyond our Sunday morning gatherings and into the daily lives that each of us live out. Paul begins all of his correspondence with the same anchor point. He writes, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And it can always be said of Paul that he begins from a point of view of faith. He rejoices to be a part of his Christ-centered community, writing, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And so let me invite, would you start there too? With that community in mind, would you consider the brothers and sisters in Christ that God has placed in your life, those Christians anywhere with whom it can be said you are partners in the gospel? And I encourage you to thank God for them in the same way as St. Paul does. But remember, Paul is not writing from a circumstance of happiness. He is in chains, wrongly suffering for proclaiming the gospel. And so we see this progression begin from a point of faith through an experience of suffering. For suffering is an inevitable part of every life. We experienced it on Friday night through the family and friends grieving the untimely death of Aaron. I heard it again this week in the account of burdened relationships. I witnessed it again in hospital rooms. We see it again on the news and the tragedies of devastating weather events. Suffering is everywhere at some point. But even suffering invites us to see beyond the burden and to determine to find Christ in the midst of it. And that's not intended to be some sort of trite, "don't worry, be happy" kind of sentiment. No, and that is the real grit of the Christian life. Paul sees Christ at work in his suffering. It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else, Paul reports, that I am in chains for Christ. Suffering for Paul becomes an extraordinary opportunity for witness. So consider a burden that you are carrying right now. Could you use that burden as a means to bear witness to your own faith in Christ? And here I'm not suggesting that you take your personal circumstance and turn it into some sort of public crusade. But can you reflect on it in your own circumstance, your own circles, among your peers, your colleagues, your family, your neighbors, in a manner that reveals where your faith comes to rest. Now recall in some of the worst crisis moments in my corporate career that there were those people in the corporation with whom we would attend to the issue of the day, to be sure, but also there were a few with whom I could share that a part of the solution, even in corporate work, was prayer. Prayer that our Lord would continue to guide us to do the right thing, ethically speaking, whatever the outcome. The outcome of Paul's witness in the midst of suffering is notable. He writes, "Because of my chains for Christ, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word more courageously and confidently." So here we see Paul's witness lead toward increased confidence in other believers. And at this point in our journey, we have turned a corner, so to speak. You see, the first three elements of our projection or progression reflect the actions of one individual. Now we begin to see the impact of those actions on others. And isn't that the way it works in our lives as well? When you display the courage to bear witness to your faith in Christ, in your own circles, in your own way, it has the effect of strengthening other believers around you. I've never been on the other side of that equation, feeling like I have this faith in Christ, but I feel like I'm the only one, like I'm all alone. Well, if so, then hearing someone else express their faith is more than likely a source of encouragement. Suddenly, you're not the only one. And that can be a comforting and confidence-inducing revelation. And your witness can do the same for someone else, further encouraging their confidence to share the faith. The brothers in Christ around St. Paul did just that. And now jumping ahead in our Philippians reading just a bit to verse 25, Paul is convinced that he will continue in his earthly work of witness and encouragement among his friends. And Paul is further certain that his work, this ongoing encouragement, will result in further progress and joy as this progression continues. Progress and joy among his Philippian brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it is with us. We need that same ongoing nurture and support. It's one of the reasons we gather here week after week, to progress in this journey together, to be fed and nourished by God's gifts, to express our joy and thanksgiving to our Lord, and to be in the company of fellow believers. I'm reminded of Pastor Babel, long-serving shepherd of Pentecost here in town. His funeral was on Saturday, and I was at a minute to visit with his daughter Friday afternoon. And she said that when her dad was entering assisted living at 80-some years old, he told her, "I still have more work to do, you know. There are plenty of people over there who need to know God." There is a life of witness, focused on the progress and joy in the faith of others. And you surely do not need to be a God-ordained apostle like St. Paul, or a called pastor like Pastor Babel, to be attentive to the progress and joy of your fellow Christians. As we strengthen one another here in this congregation, and as you do the same among other Christians in your life, we will all together illustrate Paul's final encouragement to the Philippians, and that is that we demonstrate this unity in the Spirit. Paul describes such unity as standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents, he writes. In our day, in our culture, there are a lot of opponents, and they can be frightening, and we need each other. We began our journey this morning with one man in chains in a prison cell for the sake of the gospel. And we see his burden becomes a catalyst for confidence and unity in the larger body of Christ. If we were to script our plan for enhancing the confidence and unity of the Christian church, it probably wouldn't look like this. It would look more like marketing and advertising, not suffering and witnessing. But God declares again to us through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." It's not our script to write. It's God's. We need only recognize and follow what God has placed before us. And nowhere do we see the plan of God unveiled in a way that is infinitely higher than any plan we would ever conceive than, of course, on the cross. The passion and resurrection of our Lord is the ultimate illustration of this progression. In suffering, Jesus is the pure and perfect witness of the unimaginable love of God for all of humanity, that his Son would endure such misery on our behalf, that we might have life, and as Jesus said, that we might have it abundantly. We focus on that suffering and that witness constantly in our confessional life together. As Paul declares to the Corinthians, we preach Christ and him crucified. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit is at work through the declaration of that word and instills in us the confidence to take our confession beyond these walls and into our daily lives. We progress together as a family of God, united in the Spirit, celebrating at the foot of the cross the joy that is ours in the salvation in Christ. And in the middle of this section of the letter to the Philippians, we hear that Paul's entire motivation is in Christ. Even in chains, Paul famously declares, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, no matter what happens in his life or at the advent of his death, Paul belongs to Christ. And so it is with us, the saints in Christ Jesus, at Trinity Lutheran Church, Racine, Wisconsin. To live is to find ourselves on this journey, this progression of our shared faith, sometimes as the one who suffers, sometimes as the one who bears witness in the midst of suffering to others, and sometimes as the one who is encouraged by the witness of those around us. And to die is to gain the very blessing Paul conveyed at the beginning of his letter, the eternal grace and peace from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That is the greatest win-win imaginable. And there is no greater reason to bear witness as a family, gathered together around the cross, journeying together toward God's promised home. Amen.